Today we are discussing the recurring theme of loss of control and its prevalence in chapters 22 through 25 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Right now, we are seated in the Forbidden Forest, so please excuse any noises you might hear in the background.
But before we begin, we'd like to thank the Weasleys, Wizard Wheezes, for sponsoring this podcast. Next time you are in Diagon Alley, make sure to stop by England's best joke shop.
We really get to see the true colors of these characters throughout these chapters. The loss of control illustrates characteristics that were in them already, but opens a window that allows readers to see the depth within each character. And I think Cho is a prime example of losing control because of her consistent behavior of bawling her eyes out at everything. In this way, I think Harry and Cho are very similar, which is ironic because later Harry gets frustrated with Cho crying every time he sees her. Although he doesn't cry, he should be able to relate to not controlling your emotions because he is the same way. In this way, the theme gets brought up more in how the characters represent themselves and hold themselves. For Cho, I get being absolutely heartbroken over the fact that Cedric dies, but at the same time, I feel like she chooses to not have control over herself because of the fact that she is constantly putting herself in a position where she feels devastated, so she ends up crying. This just goes to show how much control your mindset has over your habits. For example, if you're constantly thinking, wow, today is going to suck, then it's going to suck. But if you think, wow, today is going to be a good day, and you kind of keep that consistent mindset throughout your day despite the hardships that just comes with everyday life, you won't have as horrible as a day had you been in a mindset of today is going to suck, if that makes sense. From experience, you can be devastated and heartbroken without letting it dictate your life. I just find it interesting how Cho, instead of fighting against her heartbreak and trying to bring herself some sort of peace, she just gives into it and kind of allows herself to be swept away in her emotions.
Robert would have said, I agree. Cho always keeps her emotions on the edge by constantly showing what she is feeling in the most outward way possible, usually by crying. However, I think that this is a poor argument for losing control due to the fact that she is someone that never has control over her emotions. In order to lose control, you must first have control and be acting outside of the normal behavior.
I have to agree with Larissa. I feel like emotions are something you can control. It's all about mindset, at least that's what I've learned from watching too many TED Talks and motivational speakers. I think Cho loses control because she isn't taking proper care of herself to mend her broken heart. Instead of working on herself, she's off trying to get with Harry when it's obviously not a good idea. If she really wants to be with Harry, she has to gain control of her emotions so that she can have the proper conversation with him without bringing up Cedric. She has to make peace with the fact that he is gone, so she won't let her emotions control her.
Snipe, snipe. Severus Snape, 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 Severus.
Sirius has also had his fair share of losing control in two different ways. When Snape stops by 12 Grimmauld Place to speak to Harry about occlumency, Sirius gets all defensive, assuming Snape is up to no good. I think Sirius is the one who starts their fight because he, one, doesn't want Snape to hurt Harry, and two, he hasn't had much human interaction in a while and wants to vent out his built-up anger. I know that Snape loses his control as well, but I think he has a better reason to do so. I mean, Sirius bullied him all throughout his childhood and teenage years, so I have to give him that. One thing that Snape brings up really ticks off Sirius, and it's James Potter. Sirius is very sensitive towards the subject, and he has every reason to be, but he can't lash out on everyone who doesn't agree that James was not that great of a person. Instead of getting all upset about Snape being Snape, he could have just acted like an adult by trusting Dumbledore's decision to have Snape teach Harry how to control his mind. But he chooses to act childish and influences Harry to do the same. Harry looks up to Sirius, and when he sees him lose control, it only makes him hate Snape even more. I also think Sirius is taking his frustration out on Snape because he's essentially under house arrest by Dumbledore and he can't be with Harry. He has all this tension built up, and the easiest person to blame is Snape since he can't really argue with the Albus Dumbledore. Snape has been a target for most of Sirius's childhood, so it makes sense for him to use him as a scapegoat. Sirius also feels a loss of control over Snape. Snape has James and Sirius taunting him throughout his school years. He was always considered the weird one and inferior to James and Sirius. The way the two bullied Snape gave them power over him. But now that Snape is trusted by Dumbledore and a key part of the Order, Sirius feels a loss of control over him and almost threatened by him.
I think Snape is the one losing control. He's the one who had to bring up Harry's dad, and he knows that that is a very sensitive subject for Sirius. They both could control themselves for the greater good of the group. They are supposed to be protecting Harry, but they seem to forget that they are on the same team. It's like how our world works today. People fight and hate one another, but they fail to remember we are all just trying to survive in this world.
Could you please predict something for me? I'm sorry.
We also get to see Professor Umbridge, also known as the High Inquisitor of Hogwarts, gain control over their entire school, including its students and staff. She enforces numerous educational decrees in these chapters. When Umbridge actually becomes High Inquisitor, Dumbledore and other professors lose control over their own school. For example, Umbridge conducts inspections over all of the professors and how effective their methods of teaching are earlier in the book. Dumbledore is the headmaster of Hogwarts. He should not have another professor who he did not even choose to take on this role to go around telling everyone what they can and cannot do. Dumbledore should be the one who chooses what professors can teach and what they cannot teach. Umbridge takes the professor's control away from them by telling them how and what they can teach. She also stripped many rights of the students. In Chapter 25, Umbridge sends out another educational decree that teachers were banned from giving students any information that is unrelated to the teacher's subject that they can teach. Why does Umbridge think that she can do what she wants and enforce rules of her own? What gives her the right to give herself all of the authority?
I completely agree with Jana on that subject, and it just kind of reinforced this idea to me of how it's just been proven time and time again how radical change starts small. I mean, before she was anything else, she was just a professor, and then she became High Inquisitor. Then she was instated as the headmaster at Hogwarts. Unfortunately, we ran into a little bit of a technical difficulty, so I'm just going to speak on behalf of Larissa, but this is exactly what she was saying, except the files got lost. So Larissa was saying she got to that position because the Ministry of Magic and herself gave Umbridge the right to control the professors and the students, which ended with the professors losing their rights to be individuals. Yes, Larissa thinks rules are necessary for the students so that they can have a guideline on how to act, but Umbridge wasn't creating rules, she was creating regulations that went way past the line and infringed upon the individual freedoms of students and professors. When people lose their own individual right and freedom to govern themselves, it always ends with someone like Umbridge having way too much power over everyone. This ties back to our theme, because not only did they lose control over Hogwarts, they lost control over themselves because of their rights being stripped away. To answer Jana's question, the Ministry of Magic gave Umbridge the authority, but no one has the right to do what she did. Robert was saying that besides all the negative connotations of losing control, there's also a side of losing control in a caring way. All kinds of crazy things are happening in this book, and we are given a break from it by entering Mrs. Weasley's thoughts and fears. It shows just how much she cares for not only her family, but those around them, and that they have all grown so close to. Fast forward to the hospital scene, we see Mrs. Weasley losing her control over her husband in the hospital. However, unlike other people losing control in a negative and hurtful way, she loses control in a loving way and not from a place of damaging anger. Perspective as Michelle, I think that Mrs. Weasley lost control because she was scared. When she found out that he got stitches, she freaks out and yells at him in his love for Muggle artifacts. I find that it was out of fear that the stitches wouldn't work. Mrs. Weasley is used to seeing people heal with magic, not with thread. It's the fear of unknown because she doesn't think it will be as effective as magic, and she's scared to see that it won't work out. She loves him so much that she doesn't want to risk the chance of his giant wound not healing.